about this on the show. I thought for sure that Nagy would use the Parkey thing as motivation for the offseason.
Yeah.
Not the preseason, the offseason. And once we got to training camp, all of it would be over. That's what I thought that we would get. I didn't realize that it kind of got worse.
It worried me that they used that, the miss, and then seemed to direct that at the nine new kickers who didn't miss.
Correct.
You know, that kind of anger and this sort of like leftover, you know, feeling and whatnot that hasn't been let go because they keep on talking about it, which is fine as an approach, but not when you direct it at the guys that you're looking at to be the solution to the problem.
And let me just say this, and I know that I am protecting my own profession here, but one of the kickers was talking about, you know, doing stuff for the media. Oh, no. This is not us. This is not us asking for a pound of flesh. That is Nagy. And Nagy has been asked repeatedly, do you really need to be doing this? By the media. And his response is, yes, we absolutely need to be. We're leaning into this. We're not going to lose sight of what happened last year and what it may have cost us. It seems a bit obsessive.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're bringing in analysts who I don't know if they're bona fides, check out, like all sorts
of
stuff.
You get desperate, you run into snake oil salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Desperation will have you chasing things that you think somebody understands better than you.
None of it may matter, or it may matter a ton at the end of this whole thing.
But it still matters that they were unable to fix the kicking position on their own. That still matters and will always matter because that's, you can't change that.
I have some thoughts about that too. But I'm going to keep most of those to myself on today's show. But yeah, it was, I heard you guys as I was driving in talking about it, and I was like, oh, Dan's got another column I got to read. Great. So I come in here. It took me 15 minutes to kind of digest it, and I'm sitting there, and I heard Kalen on with you guys. I'm just going, this doesn't look great for a franchise that under Nagy has done just about everything right. This feels not right. Yeah. And hopefully we can be proven wrong. And I would love that. And I think that he is leading a wave when it comes to the way preseasons are done. This just feels like, really? Like, find someone to kick. If they can't kick, then find someone else. I don't know if it's benefited anyone the way that they've done this thing.
As I mentioned to Kalen, I understand how heavy-handed it is to use something as easy as the myth of Achilles' heel. But isn't that what this is? Isn't that an otherwise perfectly armored machine exposed to a pitfall, but for the smallest thing, the silliest, most vestigial position?
As long as Mitch is good, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, but still the other one thing.
But as you pointed out, Connor, when you guys were discussing this, that covers up all of the things that led to the Parkey kick.
Yeah.
The fact that Tariq Cohen only got four touches. The fact that Mitch was bad in the first half. He was great in the fourth quarter.
Unbelievable.
But he was bad in the first half. The fact that your defense had an opportunity on fourth and goal.
Yes, sir.
And that they didn't stop him. I mean, that there's a lot of stuff that went into that loss.
Yep.
And those things shouldn't be forgotten because of Cody Parkey. That being said, he's got to make the kick. And if you're wondering, and if Chris Tabor is wondering why ball velocity for each kicker may matter, is that a kicker who can kick at a greater velocity maybe gets that kick through, even if it's tipped, because they kick the ball harder.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to figure out why actually something moving faster through the air might have a potential benefit.
Well, typically, yeah.
We're going to get out of your way to let you fly this thing. I mentioned to Connor as we were walking out of the culinary studio, I felt like the Apollo 13 the Apollo 13 astronauts saying goodbye to the LEM.
We left the lifeboat.
Yeah, no, remember when they used the LEM to get back into the proper trajectory, and then when they finally had to disengage the LEM, they're like, thank you,
yes,
you served
they were
a purpose.
It.
You were
yes.
great. I don't ever want to be here again.
Yep. No, I want to go back in that studio, but I want to use
cook,
it.
Though.
Right. I want to mm-hmm. use it for a cooking demo, yeah. which is what it's kind of built for. But I'm excited to get into this, and thank you guys, the Bernstein McKnight Show, sure. now here in the New Score Studios from 9 a.m. until noon. You are listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 Score. That's us, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern. Northwestern football, man, don't miss your chance to watch it. Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the 25th-ranked Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and more. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4-KIDS. Tony, I haven't seen you in 2 months. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
At the end of the day, it's all about you. It's what you want to do and what you, the way you want to get there. So you got to outwork every single person that's there. And I use that every single day. I always try to outwork one of my friends, one of my teammates, whatever it was. Every single day at the field, I made sure I did it. I wasn't even a pitcher. I was an outfielder. Now, granted, I still can't hit, so it's okay. But those were the things that pushed me.
I agree with that, with everything that you said and the fact that you can't hit.
I'm not doubting it. It's true.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Yeah! We have a new factory with which we can make the bicycles now, which is fantastic. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have got a lot of fun stuff on the show today. White Sox fans may enjoy this. At 12:25, we are going to talk with John Rooney. It's a White Sox winner. Even though he does that for the Cardinals now, because the Cardinals are really good, and I'm going to keep talking about them as long as this race stays where it is, and it has. So we'll find out why the Cardinals have gone on this run since July 1st. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes. We're also going to talk a little bit of Bears. We're going to go back through some of the stuff, the great stuff from yesterday. Thanks to everyone at the Budweiser Brickhouse who's had our Cubs on deck luncheon. That was our third one that we did, and I really have enjoyed it. And Mitch and I were kind of talking like maybe we could do one more and figure out a way, as long as the Cubs stay in the race, to maybe do one more, a playoff edition of it. I think it was great. Thanks to the people who listened to the very raw and real moment of Nicholas Castellanos, hearing what Joe Maddon said about him and then tearing up discussing why he loves baseball so much, and your reaction to it online. Like Parkins tweeted it out. The last time I checked, there's like 125,000 views of it. For those of you who are like, wait, Lawrence, what the hell are you talking about? Yesterday, I had Nicholas Castellanos and Derek Holland on the show, and we bring back audio on the show a lot. And I played a chunk from Joe Maddon, who was on the show Monday, and it elicited a really great reaction from Castellanos. I'm going to share it again around 1 o'clock. There's more stuff that we have to do before that. But for those who missed it, we're going to bring you back like just that chunk so you understand, because I realized that I tweeted it out without context yesterday. So I apologize for any people who were following me on the twitter.com at Lawrence W. Holmes. But we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The Rundown.
Here's your rundown for Wednesday, August 21st. Kyle Long had been kind of suspended from team activities because of the fight that he got in. He didn't make the trip to New York for the last game. He talked with the media yesterday and offered an explanation and an apology for his actions.
What I did was absolutely unacceptable. As a human being, as a teammate, without question, what I do is uncalled for and absolutely so far over the line that, you know, it was on me to handle that internally and speak to the people that I needed to speak to, and I've done that. And as you guys know, this is a league about action. It's not a league about talking about it. So the thing I need to continue to do is go out on a day-to-day basis and try to prove to the men in this locker room who don't know me very well or who have some questions about my character, and just try to move forward and prove to them the man that I am on a daily basis. And it was wrong what I did, and you know, in a lapse of judgment. That's where I ended up, and you know, it reflected poorly on the organization, the city, and the offensive line room. And that was never my intention. And you know, moving forward, I intended to, you know, make living amends.
If you're looking for a way to do the mea culpa as a professional athlete, that was a pretty good way. Now he just has to follow it up with good acts. And I don't suspect that Kyle will have a problem doing that. He is someone who has had a lot of experience of trial and error and trying to get better in a lot of different facets of his life. And I think he succeeded in a lot of those areas. To the baseball. White Sox were in Minnesota. They struggled with Nelson Cruz. They seem to always do. Ricky Renteria, before the game, had this to say about all of you that want him to start managing by the numbers.
I don't discount numbers. Never have, never will. But I'm a balanced guy. And so I'm not going to appeal to the sabermetrician on a daily basis. Never will, never want to. Not my intent. If they don't like it, I don't really give a.
Well, Ricky, I think that it's okay to use the numbers. You should probably use the numbers. It's okay to do the subjective managing too, like going with your gut, but use the numbers. It's a little bit more. And here's a note that I feel very confident that other White Sox fans would sign. If I sent it to you, stop bunting. All right. Now, Cardinals and Brewers, we're going to have John Rooney on the show in about 10 minutes. He saw former Cub Dexter Fowler come through in a big way last night.
Gura has his sign, and here comes the 3-2. The runners go, swinging a fly ball to left field. Here comes the left fielder, and that ball's going to drop. Three runs are going to score. Bader scores all the way from first base without a play. On a double. A double by Fowler, a blue double, and three runs batted in.
The Cardinals win. They're a half game up on the Cubs. Why only a half game? Because the Cubs did work. And Tony, you said it last night on Twitter, and it's 100% true. Get your favorite Cub on this radio show. Because when your favorite Cub is on this radio show, they go out and do tremendous things like Nicholas Castellanos.
Beattie rocks back and delivers the 2-2. This one's hit in the air to fairly deep right center field. Going back is Pilar. He's in front of the wall. Leaps. It's gone. Castellanos puts the Cubs on the board. A solo home run.
Now, Anthony Rizzo is not on this show, but it would be welcome if he wanted to come and hang out. I know he's hanging out with Cap. It's fine. But if he wanted to come be on this show, just think of what we could do considering what he did last night.
The 0-1. This one's drilled deep to right field. Going back is Slater. He looks up. This one's gone. Rizzo taking his time. Going around the bases. Second solo shot of the inning. Cubs lead 2-0.
Savor the flavor. Cole Hamels then gave up two runs in the next half inning. And then the next time that Anthony Rizzo came up, he was like, I still got that glow.
Here comes a 2-2. Rizzo swings, launches one to deep right field. Way back there, looking up is Slater. Gone! Cubs lead 3-2.
See it, drought. Rizzo goes deep again.
So the Cubs get the lead again, and then bad things happen where the game ends up tied again.
The 1-0 is drilled to deep left. If this one is fair, it's gone. It's fair, and it's gone. Pilar ties up the game, a solo home run. 3-3 here in the fourth.
Joe Maddon kept Cole Hamels in the game, and I was like first guessing him, like, oh, you got him out of the fifth. Like, don't send him out there for the sixth. It all kind of worked out, and Jonathan Lucroy, he popped up with an RBI.
Here comes the 1-1. Lucroy swings off the glove of Belt into right field. Rounding third and heading home is Baez. The Cubs take the lead. RBI single by Jonathan Lucroy. Cubs 4, Giants 3.
The Cubs would get a two-run lead heading into the ninth. Craig Kimbrell, he's all warmed up and ready to go. Kid was hit 97, 98 on the gun and got the Cubs out of there with a win.
Here comes the 1-0. This one's hit in the air to left center field. Hayward's on the track. Underneath it. Fly the W. Cubs win. Kimbrel the save, his 10th, as the Cubs beat the Giants 5-3.
Zach Zabeman on the call. Pat Hughes has this series off. No, wait, he's back on Thursday. He is back on Thursday. So Zach will have the call for the game tonight. Joe Maddon talked about his bullpen in the postgame.
That was nice off the glove. I mean, again, the line drives, the way the defenses are set up these days, everybody seems to be in the right spot, even with line drives. That was one thing that was always my goal, was that we would catch line drives, but it goes right off of it. Big play right there, and the add-on run was huge going into the ninth. And then Kimbrel threw the ball, I thought, really well, hit 98. But don't underestimate Rowan Wick. Again, he did a magnificent job, and he's really finding his way.
In the game last night, Cole Hamels goes six innings, gives up all three earned runs, but battled, struck out five. You had Ryan, Wick, and Kimbrel combined for three innings where they only gave up one hit, and they were able to strike out four. The Cubs win 5-3 over the Giants, and the National League Central standings look like this. The Cardinals on top of the NL Central at 67-57 with a half game lead over the Cubs. Milwaukee, who's playing St. Louis, is now four games back. Both the Cubs and the Cardinals have won three in a row. The Cardinals have won 9 out of their last 11. We're going to talk about why the Cardinals are really good right now, because I feel like they're playing above their level of talent, but that might not matter. We're going to take a timeout and talk with their play-by-play guy. If you're a White Sox fan, you'll recognize the voice. White Sox winner! John Rooney is going to join me next here on The Score.
Broadcasting live from the new Hyundai Studios at The Score, you're listening to the voice of the Chicago sports fan. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Test drive a new Hyundai, get a $50 reward card. Terms apply.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. If you believe his agent, Ezekiel Elliott got his feelings hurt by a comment made this past weekend by Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. After rookie running back Tony Pollard played reasonably well in Dallas's exhibition game against the Rams, a local Dallas TV reporter brought up the missing Elliott, who's holding out. Zeke who? Jones answered, and then went on at length about the plans for Elliott when he returns. It could not have been more clear that Jones was joking, and in fact, he went on to talk about how Pollard might occasionally pair with Elliott. The response from Elliott's agent, someone named Rocky Arsenault? I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke, Arsenault said. Seriously? The line wasn't fall down funny, it was chuckle funny, but it certainly wasn't anywhere close to being something worth getting upset over. Elliott's going to get paid, and he's going to carry the ball early and often. He and his agent need to get over themselves. I'm John Feinstein.
At Byline Bank, they take pride in providing creative solutions to finance small businesses. Paul Scharfman of Specialty Cheese Company talks about the benefits of government-guaranteed lending. The Byline Small Business Capital Team helped Paul with both SBA and USDA loans to help him consolidate financing and grow his business.
Each time we've had a financing challenge, the Byline people have said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but they don't say no. They say, let's figure out a plan to work together to make it happen. And by gosh, they do. The philosophy of the Small Business Capital Team at Byline Bank and what the team executes so well is working with riskier companies that have potential and mitigating that risk with government guaranteed credit enhancements through SBA and USDA loans. Very persistent, diligent, understanding people. We tripled our balance sheet overnight.
Byline Bank. They make it personal and listen to what matters to you. Online at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
It's time to get in the game and start training for a career that can change your future at Lincoln Tech's Melrose Park Campus. Come to Lincoln's immediate acceptance days next Tuesday, August 20th or Wednesday, August 21st from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and get an admissions decision on the spot. Then put your potential to work and get ready for your future in fields like auto technology, electrical and electronic systems technology, or medical assisting. Summer classes start soon. Visit lincolntech.edu for complete details. That's lincolntech.edu.
Dan Bernstein here for my friends at Aloha Restoration. If you notice dark stains on your ceiling, mold and mildew starting to set in, everybody I talk to is dealing with a flooded basement. And there are some service companies that will just tear out the damage, and then you have to hire another company to restore it. Aloha Restoration will take your flooded basement from ruined to restored. Speaking from my personal experience, Aloha was with me from start to finish, restored my home to pre-disaster condition, and made it look as good as new. Aloha's the proud winner of the Better Business Bureau's 2018 Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. Aloha Restoration, 847-865-5664, 847-865-5664.
Have a roofing project? Whether you're doing a small repair or a full job, the Home Depot has all the quality GAF roofing products needed to get the job done. Save up to 20% with bulk pricing on full pallets of shingles and complete the job quickly with the full assortment of roofing accessories.